guys. Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. And I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have you all tuning in. And we're ready to chop up game like we always do. So everybody hit that thumbs up button. Let everybody know that we're here live right now. And we're about to make it do what it do. And we will be right back after a quick commercial break. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. And we're going to be right back right here on Tariq Radio. So don't y'all move a muscle. Don't y'all move a goddamn muscle.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
The Hurricane Report is a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to our website, h-report.news. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Instagram at h_REEEPOORT. Twitter at the H-Report2. And share the article. You can purchase merch, donate, or drop us a line through our contact form. Go to h-report.news. Take action and maintain freedom.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
All right, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Ready to chop up that game like we always do. Everybody, since you're coming in the room, everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button right now. Hit the thumbs up button. And everybody, I'm going to need you to hit that subscribe button. Y'all need to be subscribing if you have not subscribed. Now, we're going to have the Black History Month Hidden Colors discount package. That sale starts tomorrow. That's Friday. The sale starts tomorrow. So you guys need to get ready. Tomorrow, you need to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a major discount package for Hidden Colors throughout the month of February. It's 50% off. It's actually more than 50% off because you're going to get Hidden Colors 1, the Hidden Colors 2 DVD, the Hidden Colors 3 DVD, the Hidden Colors 4 DVD, the Hidden Colors 5 DVD, and the 1804 Hidden History of Haiti DVD. You're going to get all 6 DVDs for one price, $49.99. So everybody is going to touch the game for Black History Month. Everybody's going to have access to the game. It's a phenomenal deal. Basically, you're damn near basically just paying for the shipping. That's a phenomenal deal. Two of the DVDs are like $50. So you're getting 6. For like the price of 2, you're getting a great, phenomenal deal because we want everybody to be able to have the DVD for Black History Month so you can share it, chop up game, so everybody can have it for the month of February. And it would be a great Valentine's gift, the whole shebang. So y'all need to get on that sale. It starts tomorrow at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. And also, everybody, I hope you have your tickets for the Foundational Black American Conference going down in Atlanta Juneteenth weekend. That's June 20th, Saturday, June 20th. It's going to be phenomenal. I'll be in Atlanta possibly next week. I'm just going to do a walkthrough of the venue and get everything straight as far as security and get the vendors. Shout out to all the vendors. We got a lot of wonderful vendors getting down with it. And if you are a vendor, if you are a business owner and you want to get your vending booth, you need to get that early. Get that now before we have to cut the vendors off, because I have to go down there and see how much space we have for vendors. I know because of the rate we're going now, so many people are signing on as vendors. We're going to probably run out of space pretty soon. So if you are a vendor, you want to get down and get that action right now, go to FBAC2020.com, ladies and gentlemen. So let's just get into some stuff. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. The theme of today's broadcast, we're talking about Negroes out here buck dancing for a job. Have you guys noticed since the death of our brother Kobe Bryant? And I don't want to harp on that too much because, you know, everybody's talking about it. And I did a broadcast about it the other day. Not only are all the white supremacists and the anti-black races taking their digs at us, black society, because this is what this is really about. They're using Kobe as a proxy to attack black society. That's not even the most sickening thing. The most sickening thing to me is these buck dancing Negroes using that as an opportunity for them to campaign for a job. It's real sick. We all know that this woman, she was on MSNBC, Alison Morris, and I talked about this the other day. She was referring to Kobe and said he played for the LA Niggers, and then she tried to say the Nakers. And you had people like Mark Lamont Hill, Mark LaMoist Hill, talking about, I heard it and I believe her. You had Malcolm the Sambo Nance talking about he believes her. You had Wanda Sykes talking about she believes she made a mistake. Notice all of these Negroes who are sitting up here talking about white mommy made a mistake, I believe her. It's always these Democrat connected Negroes. It's always these Democratic connected Negroes trying to keep a job. And Mark Lamont Hill is shamelessly campaigning for a job. Shamelessly. The eyes are just bucking left and right out here. These niggas are buck dancing for a job. This is how sick and insidious these niggas are. That's all this is. And a lot of these bedwinches are popping up like crazy. A lot of these bedwinches are writing articles and doing op-ed articles trying to throw us under the bus. Khalees, Nas's ex-wife, Khalees did an article with The Guardian, I think. I think it was The Guardian publication. And it was real weird at first, but then I saw what the gist of it was. She was talking about how the Neptunes ripped her off. She didn't make no money off her first two albums. They were supposed to be, she thought they were going to split it 33%, 33%, 33%. And she didn't make no money off the publishing. And she started talking about Pharrell and how Pharrell and the Neptunes did her wrong. And you know, she felt abused. She kept using words like abused. I felt like they financially abused me, and I had to deal with that abuse and then go home and then be abused by Nas physically. And I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that Nas physically abused her. Nas don't even have that kind of spirit. I just don't believe that. And he's denied that. But she's up here talking about, oh, they ripped me off. They ripped me off. First of all, Khalees didn't write those songs on the first album. She didn't write Milkshake. She didn't produce Milkshake. You're a new artist. You're not going to get no damn equal publishing as the producer and writer. Are you insane? Nobody gets that kind of deal early on in the stage of their career. And plus, the Milkshake song, that song was written and produced for Britney Spears initially, but she turned it down and they gave it to her. So they could have gave that song to anybody. It was the production and the writing of that song that popped it off. Yeah. So she's talking real crazy how she was supposed to get all this money. Sweetie, no, you're not. No, you're not. Some of her later albums didn't even chart like that. So no, you're not trying to. That child support must be running out. The child support. How old is my brother? My brother Nas is the child they have together. Is the child about to be grown? Because now when a lot of these baby mamas, because that's what she acting like now, baby mama, when they start talking crazy, usually that child support is almost over. Same thing with 50 Cent. Remember when 50 Cent, his son was almost grown, the baby mama out here acting a damn fool? When them child support checks about to dry up, them baby mamas come out there, then they want to talk crazy. Then they want to start talking crazy when the kid gets around 17. That last check is on its way through. So now they want to act a fool and try to get some attention and be a drama queen. So, yeah, the child support is running out. How old is their son together? They have a son together, from what I understand. And Nas is my dude. So I don't want to talk too much about the children because Nas is my brother and I worked with Nas before. How old is the son, by the way? He's a young, is he a preteen? How old is he? Man, but she said something real interesting in the article. She said, hold on, I want to quote this thing directly. I don't want to misquote what she said. Let me quote it directly. Let me not even paraphrase. I want to give you the exact quote of what she said. Come on, Twitter. I'm looking at my Twitter. Hold on 1 second. Let me do that. Let me be right and exact with it. Hold on. Let me see. Let me go down. Where are we at? And I hate when I can't find something right away. Here it is. Okay. This is what she said. This is at the bottom of the article, and this is what the gist of the article really was. She said, I'm a very private person, and whether it's stuff with the Neptunes and being assaulted from a business perspective and then to be assaulted at home, I fought so hard to have my voice, even with the umbrella of these men looming over what I was trying to do. I'm not broken. I don't feel like protecting the sanctity of the black man anymore. What the hell was that? What? She said she don't feel like protecting the sanctity of the black man. When the hell did Khalees protect the sanctity of the black man? What the fuck that got to do with anything? And that's why they put her in that article. That's what this was about. They put her up there because they orchestrated her to take swipes at black men in general. That was some out of nowhere shit. Because you got a janky deal that you felt was janky. So it's a black man problem. The black man is the problem. Now she's trying to dog whistle to these white feminist groups. She knows the anti-black sentiment that's going on with the Me Too people. So she's trying to get clicked in with that. That's what she's trying to do. She's trying to get clicked in with the whole Me Too crowd to help. Well, hey, I can help throw some of these niggas under the bus with you. And she's talking about how the Neptunes did her wrong and it's the black man's fault. The Neptunes is black and it's a black and an Asian guy. It's Pharrell and Chad Hugo. Chad Hugo is an Asian guy. So the Neptune's an Asian and a black dude did something you don't like, but it's the black man's fault. It's all black man's fault. You know, this type of buck dancing right here is shameless. These people out here, it seems like the more these mammies and bedwinches and white ass kissers get dissed by other people, they seem to have the most venom for us. We're the easy targets. I've been noticing this on Twitter. This week alone, it's about three bedwinches that we've retweeted. They've all been sexually assaulted by white men, but they stay on Twitter shitting on black men. There was one who, one of her adoptive relatives, he molested her. He's in prison, and her white grandmother wanted her to sign some documents. So she's like, oh, hell no, I ain't signing no documents. But then we pulled up tweets of her white ass kissing, campaigning for Zaddy, talking about black men ain't shit, whoop-de-whoop. Then there was another chick. She's black and Filipino. Her mama's Filipino, her dad's black, and she's, every other tweet is, I want me a white nerd. I love me some white boys. I love Zaddy. White men are so cute to me. I want me a white boy. She's just begging for white men on her damn Twitter. And then the other day, oh my God, can y'all help me? This white guy that I dated abused me. He raped me. He's a racist. Can we, Twitter, do your thing. No, 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 no. Now she's out here begging for help because her little drug addict looking Zaddy done turned on her. No, we're not playing that game. We're not playing that game at all. And we found other tweets of her talking about, yeah, I don't mind racist joke. Racism is fine to some of these bedwinches until it turns on them. They think that they're some kind of honorary white supremacists. And they're totally fine with racism until it turns on them. Yeah, we're not going to play that game. You're going to have to hold your own nuts. There was another chick, Sharika Scholl. She put up an article. She's a bedwench, and I've known about her. We know about each other. She corresponds with me in my DMs. She was a bedwench who was clicked up with the Proud Boys, and I called her out on that. And she wrote some kind of article about black men attacking black women on Twitter and how black women need to get away from black men and black women need to divest into other races. And this same woman was all of my DMs whining about her white adopted dad who used to molest her all the damn time. These niggas have been broken. These niggas out here, unfortunately, you want to feel sorry for them, but they've just been broken. You can't do anything with them. They've been broken. They've been broken. And you can't do anything with them. Yeah, they've been abused by the white supremacists, and that's very unfortunate. But when you're abused, either you're going to get stronger from that or they're going to break you. Unfortunately, these people have been broken. They can't do anything for us. Once they get around us, they're going to undermine us. That's just the long and short of it. It's kind of difficult because black people, we're a very sympathetic group of people, naturally. Anybody getting harmed, we want to make sure they're good, but it's like The Walking Dead. When somebody gets bitten, when they get infected, you know, what you going to do? What are you going to do? You bring them around and all they do is infect you. So we got to charge some of these folks to the game. When we see that they're trying to undermine us, we got to charge them to the game. Somebody in the chat room asked about Bernie Sanders talking about immigrants built this country. Yeah, Bernie Sanders, and that's a Democratic talking point. The reason they do this is twofold. Number one, they're trying to cater and pander to the Hispanic votes, trying to prop them up. Also, they're showing their disrespect for foundational black Americans. When they say that, they are showing their blatant disrespect for foundational black Americans, and they're dog whistling to white people too. They're dog whistling to the racist white moderate voters saying, hey, wink, wink, we don't give a damn about these niggers either, wink, wink. So they're really pandering to the white moderate vote when they do that. They know how disrespectful that is to say that some goddamn immigrants built this country. The immigrants didn't build shit. The immigrants came here after everything was built, after the table was set. All they did was pull up and start eating. They didn't build anything. Don't let them tell that lie. These are these I'm white and I say so lies. And when you say what immigrant built this country, black people already built this country. They start talking about some damn Chinese came and built the railroads. If you don't get the hell out of my damn face, the railroads were already built on the East Coast and the South by black people. Black people were building the railroads. They built those railroads on the East Coast and in the South to take all the raw materials up there to the North. Black people did that already. They expanded the railroads west with Chinese people that they hired. So that was a come up for the Chinese people. After slavery was over, that's not building the country. They just expanded a damn railroad and the Chinese got paid for it. So they can't sit up and say some damn immigrants built the country. And by the way, these same so-called immigrants who built the country, remember, their home countries went to war with the damn United States. Always remind them of that. When they start talking about some damn Chinese and all this stuff, or Hispanic or Mexicans, remember, Mexico went to war with the United States. China fought. They allied with Korea during the Korean War, so they fought against the United States as well. You understand? When they start talking about these immigrant groups that, quote unquote, built the country, these same immigrant groups came from countries that tried to destroy the country. These same immigrants came from countries that went to war with the United States. But guess who never went to war with the United States? Foundational Black Americans. Guess what group has fought in every single war in the United States to protect this country? Foundational Black Americans. We are the only group that has fought in every war, and we've never gone to war against this country. We fought in every war. We were the first people to take a bullet for the United States. Crispus Attucks. We have fought and protected this country in every single war. Don't ever let these people talk about somebody, some immigrants who built this damn country. But Bernie Sanders has been on his little disrespect kick, and they've been found some old quotes of him where he was defending hardcore white supremacist George Wallace. They found some kind of quote or video. I don't know what exactly they found. It was something from 1972 where Bernie Sanders was giving props to George Wallace, and George Wallace was a hardcore white supremacist and segregationist. So now Bernie is niggersplaining. He's out here trying to niggersplain why he supported that white supremacist back in the day. You understand? You got to watch how slick these folks are. See, when they march within the civil rights movement. Joe Biden is out here talking about he marched in the damn civil rights, and everybody's calling him out. Joe Biden, you were nowhere near any damn civil rights movement. Stop. And that's why that means nothing to me. Everybody, if you let them tell it, was marching in the damn civil rights movement. Anybody can say that. You can't keep a count or a track of who was marching in the damn civil rights movement. You can't keep track of that. So yeah, somebody can lie about some shit that happened 50 years ago and they weren't there. Man, please. Everybody and their mama who's over the age of 60 talking about they were marching in the damn civil rights movement. Everybody wasn't marching because it was people throwing rocks at them brothers and sisters. Somebody was throwing the damn rocks and bricks and the bullets and all that shit. All of you guys were not down. But another thing people have been calling Bernie Sanders out with is him getting clicked in with Joe Rogan. A lot of folks are like, damn, why is he up here getting clicked in with Joe Rogan and getting endorsed by Joe Rogan? See, that's very strategic, too. Again, Joe Rogan, and I've always said this about Joe Rogan, he's alt-right affiliated. Joe Rogan says a lot of racist shit on his show. I've called Joe Rogan's racism out heavy. Joe Rogan is clicked in with the damn alt-right. He has those racist bastards on his show. So his audience is basically pandering to that white supremacist alt-right crowd. They try to deny it, but white supremacists are deceptive. They're always going to deny shit. So Bernie knows what he's doing. They know. See, the white supremacists, they can do stuff and they have understandings with each other without actually saying it. Bernie Sanders knows that a lot of millions of white supremacists follow Joe Rogan, so he's trying to get in on that action because they know black folks are not rocking with them, so they're going to have to go to different pools to get a voter base. So they're trying to concoct something now. So now they're trying to pander to the moderate white supremacists. They're desperate right now. They're desperate right now. And speaking of white supremacists and Joe Rogan, one of these guys that goes on Joe Rogan's show, Ari Shaffir, he's this jive-ass comic, this white boy comic. And after Kobe died, he made a video talking about, oh, yeah, Kobe's a gone. He's a goner. Yeah. Also, he got what he deserved because he was a rapist. So he was celebrating Kobe Bryant dying. This Ari Shaffir. Now, by the way, this Ari Shaffir, he has old videos where he dresses up like the Klan and goes into black neighborhoods. So he's a longtime anti-black racist, and he has a lot of anti-black racism on his page. So after he made that little video, I reposted it. It went viral. And, you know, the people felt a certain way about it. The block got real hot for this dude. The Ari Shaffir dude, the block got real hot. Because, see, a lot of these white supremacists who work at these little news organizations and media outlets, you know, they're protected in the buildings they're in. These little journalists, you know, these buildings have security. So they sit in their little cubicles saying their little racist shit, and they're protected by the office space. But see, Ari, whatever his name is, he's a working comic. So he has to get out there on the road. He got to get out there in the streets. And now the block is hot for him. It's very hot for him out here in L.A. He had to cancel a lot of his upcoming comedy shows. The video that we put up that went viral, and we put our own narrative to it. This is why we have to control the media. We have to be in front of everything. He got dropped by his talent agency out here. They dropped his ass. He had a show up there in New York. He had a couple of shows in New York. They were getting a lot of threats up there, so they had to drop him and the comedy club out there. They're not working with him ever again. So the block is real hot for dude. The block is real hot for this fucking dude. You dig? And I'm telling you, it's real hot for him out here. People can't wait for his ass to show up and do a performance out here. You dig? Everybody's on this dude's bumper. And he's putting out little press releases explaining, oh, it was just a joke. Oh, I'm a comic and I do edgy comedy. Comedy is just a joke. Remember, like I told you about the white supremacists, it always starts off as a joke with them. Their white supremacist views always start off as jokes. They weaponize jokes. Nothing is a joke with the white supremacists. Remember, the Klan started off as a joke. Jim Crow started off as a joke, and then it became law. So just because a white supremacist tells you that they're joking, that means nothing. That makes it more dangerous. That makes it more dangerous. So the thing is, we got to stay on top of everything. We have to learn how to get in front of things and control the narrative. This is why with the Kobe thing, we're asking a lot of questions because nobody really knows all the facts yet. And when we start talking about this Kobe situation where our brother died and he crashed in this helicopter, when we start asking questions, you know what I notice? A lot of these buck dancing, scary Negroes start whining. Holy, come on now, y'all stop talking all that now. Why don't y'all let that man rest in peace now? Why don't y'all let him rest in peace now? We don't need no conspiracies out here now. I hate niggas like that. I know some conspiracies can get far-fetched, but it's good to ask questions, see? As Neely Fuller says, black people, we should be the most question-asking people out there, see? There's too many Negroes out here who think they know every damn thing, and when you start looking at things from different perspectives and asking questions and trying to get other perspectives to add things up, niggas start getting scared and talking dumb. I posted something, and I'm not even being accusatory, but I posted something about Kobe. I posted an article where he was going back and forth with this pharmaceutical company called High Tech. And the owners of this company, which is very interesting, these white dudes are career criminals. The owner has been in and out of jail just nonstop for decades. And also, the owners of this country, High Tech, they discussed killing a federal agent. There was a federal agent investigating them, and they discussed killing the damn dude. And I want y'all to look this up. So that's a very interesting tidbit. We're not saying it means anything or it does mean anything or it doesn't mean, but that's interesting. That's something we need to put in our damn back pocket. Yeah, Kobe was in court going back and forth with some real shady ass people. Look up Jared Wheat from High Tech Pharmaceuticals. Him and his partners, according to law enforcement in the indictment, they plotted and discuss killing a damn federal agent. So if these guys are that bold, what else would they do? You understand? Look this stuff up. So I put that up, and you got a bunch of scared niggas. Come on now. Hey, now. What all this is? Conspiracy now. We don't need no conspiracy now. We don't need it. I don't know what you're trying to get at now, but we don't need that now. I just don't know where you going with that. All that information, we do not need it out here now. We need to pray. We need to let him rest in peace. We need to let go and let God. Oh, I hate you niggas. Oh, I hate you niggas with a passion. You emotional bastards. Niggas, stop being so goddamn emotional and ask questions. We got to start looking at things from every angle. We got to be the investigating people. Yeah, it's okay to put the tinfoil koofy on. It's okay to believe in conspiracies and look into conspiracies. We need to investigate. No, we don't need to do that now. We don't need... All that happened, that helicopter fell in... It was a fog, and it fell in the fog. That's all it was. Now, just let it go now. Just let it go. Just let it go and just keep on doing what we're doing and just pray about it. No, we don't know. Nobody knows. No, we're going to ask some damn questions. Nigga, you don't know. Y'all niggas, here's the fog. He just couldn't see where he was going. Nigga, I don't know about that. It could be, but I mean, shit. Let's ask questions about that. I'm going to ask questions. The fog, okay, so fog has always been around since the beginning of damn time. So you're not going to get into a helicopter knowing that there's fog and you don't have any devices or radar to let you know if there's a damn mountain in front of you. That's common sense 101. All right, why is this dude flying in the fog? If it's the fog, why is an expert helicopter driver flying around in the damn fog without any kind of radar letting them know there's a damn mountain in front of them? Let's ask questions. Why was he flying so low when they told him not to fly that low? Hey, man, you're already flying hella low. Let's ask questions. We're going to have to ask some questions. What happened here? How did this thing go down? This was an expert pilot out here, and I'm close by, so I'm up there looking around, seeing what's going on, because I live near where this happened. So I'm damn sure going to ask some questions if there's helicopters falling out the damn sky around my fucking house. I'm going to ask some questions. Because that could have crashed in somebody's crib. So I want to know what's happening. We should ask questions. And to see if there was any kind of foul play. We don't know. You dig? Who is the damn pilot? What's going on with this guy? You always got to ask questions. Don't let nobody shame you for asking questions. Always ask questions, and you look at things from every conceivable angle you can look at it from. Always do that. While niggas out here praying and trying to get some camera time and out here showing out with your Laker jersey, because niggas ready for the party. That's what a lot of niggas wait for, the damn party. they'll use some shit to, it's turn up time. When is the funeral and the after party? That's what niggas want to focus on. Let's stop talking about all the evidence and the conspiracy and what happened and what didn't happen. No, let white folks do that. No, well, let's just show up to the funeral. Let's get our cry on and then let's get our party on. But I'm looking at every angle of that Kobe thing because it don't look right. Some things, I got some real hellified questions. Why this thing crashed into a damn mountain like that just because it was foggy and all the other helicopters were told to be grounded out here. They weren't even letting police helicopters fly out because of the fog. So why was this guy flying around because of the fog? And why didn't he have a device to let him know what was in front of him if you're flying in the fog? Let's ask questions. You dig? Question everything. And the fact that these people, these white supremacists, are all on code dissing Kobe after he died, that, again, that just raises more flags for me. They're talking about, well, damn it, he deserved it because he was a rapist. And see, we shouldn't really be so sad because it's karma because he was a rapist. I mean, a lot of white women are saying this. A lot of these white supremacist feminist females are really jumping on this. A lot of these liberal, and I talked about this on my Sunday's broadcast, a lot of these so-called liberal white supremacist females are saying this. And all they're doing is using the I'm white and I say so narrative. Because when you look at the evidence, let's just be clear. And I posted up a lot of links about the fake rape claim that was made by Kobe's accuser, Caitlin Faber. Family, the case, and this is why y'all need to be tooled up with information about this. First of all, the woman who accused Kobe, I told y'all on my Sunday show, she was at a party bragging about how big Kobe's dick was and how much she liked it. She was happy. She was happily bragging about having sex with Kobe Bryant at a party where several witnesses gave their testimony about this to the press. Not only that, this woman, and this is the thing, most of her friends were going to testify against her. Her own friends were contradicting what she was saying. I want y'all to understand, the prosecution of that case, it was the prosecutors who dropped the case. Kobe was going to go through trial with this thing. The prosecutors were the ones who dropped the case because they saw all the evidence come through and everything was so weak and it was making the woman look so damn bad. The prosecutor said, we're just going to tap the fuck out right now. They caught her in so many damn lies. She admitted to so many lies. They found so many different sperm samples in her drawers. The prosecution said all her friends were testifying against her. They were going to lose big time. Not only did they tap out, the prosecution went to the judge and said, can we just go ahead and get this dismissed? And a lot of those prosecutors got in trouble. They fucked their careers up because charges shouldn't have never been filed anyway. The case was so weak and it was so obvious that this woman was finessing a bag. The charges should not have even been filed. This woman had sex with a dude. She admitted a couple of days before Kobe. And then right after she had sex with Kobe, she had sex with another dude about 12 to 15 hours after Kobe. I mean, they had all the DNA on this broad. And she tried to lie and she tried to say that, well, she went to get her rape kit examination because she made a mistake and put on some used underwear from her hamper. She was just making up all types of bullshit. It was making her look bad. She was bragging to her friends about how she's going to file a civil suit against Kobe and get some breast work done, and she was going to buy a koala. She was going to buy a pet koala. So this was a big old finesse. This was a big finesse. and she was telling her friends how cute Kobe was and how much she liked it. And then she planned on doing the same thing with Eminem. She was like, yeah, if Eminem comes to town, I'm going to get with him and try to have sex with him. So this woman was just trying to finesse a bag, and she lucked up and got at Kobe. And she went out of her way to get to the room with Kobe. Remember, she worked at the hotel, so she was sneaking around trying to get up in that room with Kobe. And all her friends were going to testify against her dumb ass, her lying ass. The prosecution didn't have a chance with all the DNA evidence, all the witnesses saying that this woman's a finesser and a liar. She had already lied to the prosecution about some shit that she had to go back and double back on. So this was an open and shut case against her. Clearly didn't rape this woman. This was a come up for her. She had consensual sex with Kobe and then tried to flip it. She saw the racial element and she tried to flip it. But when these white supremacists are running around talking about he's a rapist, they know that he didn't rape her. But just the fact that he had sex with her, remember, all sex between a black man and a white woman, they consider it rape, even when it's consensual. That's what we have to understand. And one lady put up a tweet, I think it was earlier today. Abigail Disney, she's the heiress to the Disney family. She was like, well, Kobe was just a rapist. We got to just deal with it. Now, I talked about this woman before, about a year ago. Abigail Disney is a big time anti-black racist. I've called her and her family out because Walt Disney was a damn anti-black racist. So she carried on that tradition. She was the one behind the whole Savard vibing R. Kelly. It's her. She's the one who's financing all that stuff. This was one of the backers of the Tarana Burks and all these people. Abigail Disney of the Disney fortune. She's behind a lot of that stuff. See, this is why we need to know who's who. This is why we got to study people. So when their names pop up, I'm like, oh, you back. Okay, I remember you. You owned some same anti-black bullshit a year ago. So she's been on that anti-black kick, Abigail Disney. And the thing is, what's so ironic, remember, when these people are so accusatory, trying to throw throw black people under the bus with all of these accusations, remember, we all know that Walt Disney, her uncle, was a hardcore anti-black racist. He hated black people. Walt Disney, he didn't even want black looking people working at the damn company. There was an East Indian guy working there. Walt Disney thought he was black. Somebody hired this East Indian dude, and Walt Disney had him fired because he thought he was a nigga. This is how hardcore Walt Disney was with his racism. He was clicked in with Nazi sympathizers. He was clicked in with this Nazi sympathizing group out here. He was really clicked in with a lot of this racist shit. Look at the movies, his early cartoons, those racist ass Mickey Mouse cartoons he used to have in one of the most racist children's films in history, The Song of the South. They had to ban that film. You can't even see that film no more. So damn racist. It was a Disney film that they put out in 1946, I think. That film is so racist, you can't even put it out no more. You dig? And the poor brother who was in the movie, the star of the movie, the brother, the lead actor, when they had the premiere of the movie down in Atlanta, because the movie made a lot of money when it came out back in the 1940s. The brother couldn't even go to the movies to see it. He couldn't even go to the movie theater at his own premiere because of the racism there. You understand? So we all know that Walt Disney's racism is very well documented, and they like to play his racism off by saying, well, he was a man of his time, you know. That's just the way it was back then. That's the bullshit excuse they like to use. Whenever you point out, hey, yo, folks was kind of racist with some of the shit they wrote. Well, that's just how everybody was. No, racism was bad then. Just like now. This is why they don't like us calling it now out now. See, they don't like us calling it out and documenting it. This is why we have to call racism what it is. We got to call that thing out. Because back in those days, because you didn't have too many mainstream publications out there calling out racism, they try to make it seem like it was just normal. Everybody was doing it. It was just something that was accepted. But they don't show you the black publications that spoke out against this. This is why they don't like to talk about the Garveys and people who was out there on the ground really speaking out against this. If they show a black person speaking out against it, well, he was a radical. Oh, he was a black militant. You understand? But not only did we knew about Walt Disney's anti-black racism, but so many people documented how Walt Disney was also a damn pedophile. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was a closeted queen, according to several sources. There's a book called Hollywood Bazaar. I think that's the name of it. It documented a whole, it had a whole bunch of receipts on his ass where he had, you know, he was fucking with them boys, had little secret little rendezvous with dudes and tricking his little money off on city boys. And there was an actor, the little kid who played Peter Pan. They said that he was molesting him. I forgot that guy's name. He died pretty young. That guy who played Peter Pan is Billy something. I think his name is Billy something. I can't think of his name, but the guy died at like 31 years old. He became a junkie. You dig? But then they were saying Walt Disney was molesting him, and they put little pedophile stuff in cartoons, little secret things, putting little sexual innuendos in certain cartoons. Look that up. I want y'all to go to YouTube and look up all the little sexual innuendos that goes into the old Disney cartoons. They put a penis in a scene and kind of blend it in so the average person wouldn't know. They would do little stuff like that. So, you know, these people got a lot of nerve. They really got a lot of nerve talking about making black folks the face of this garbage. You ding? So this is why we got to learn how to control narratives. We got to research people. We have to look at people from every conceivable angle. Like Neely Fuller said, we should be overly cautious and overly prepared. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if you're wrong, okay, still be prepared. Still ask questions. Maybe there's nothing to it, but you go look at it. Investigators do that. When it comes to investigating something, investigators, especially a crime, they look at everything. Everything is going to be looked at and analyzed. We got to start thinking like that. We got to look at things from every single angle and get off that emotional bullshit. Why you got to show all that? When I was at the crash site, I showed the helicopter burning and the bodies were already gone. And I had some, and usually old niggas, it's some old people and some old women too. It was some old niggas. Why you got to show that? Why are you showing that? It's a burning helicopter. What do you, why, we just got to let these people grieve. Why are we showing that? We ain't got to, where is JJ getting all this cash? Y'all turn into Florida fucking Evans. You Florida Evans niggas. Why are you doing this? It's always that scary Sambo Florida Evans shit. Just like on Good Times. Florida Evans didn't want to know nothing. Michael was the deep one in the show. Every time Michael start talking deep, Florida, oh, Lord, don't talk like that, Michael. Some of y'all niggas act like that. Just scared of your own damn shadow. Scared to ask questions. And what we need to be asking questions about is this damn coronavirus that's going on. This thing is heavy. Boy, this thing is scaring the hell out of people. And it's spreading fast. Out there in China, in this one town in China, hundreds of people are just dropping dead because of this damn virus. And the coronavirus, different strains of it, it has been around. But, man, a lot of people in China, They're stopping flights from China. There's a cruise ship over there. There was a woman from China who was on a cruise ship, and she started getting flu symptoms, and there's like 6,000 people on this cruise ship, and they're like, none of y'all ain't going nowhere. We ain't letting y'all off here. So these 6,000 people are stuck on a cruise ship right now because of a Chinese woman in there coughing. Now, it could be, we got to look at this thing from different angles. Now, is it because they have very nasty eating habits out there? They're eating bats and rats and all of these disgusting animals and all of these filthy animals, and they got pigs and dogs that they're eating and laying up around? Or is this something that was created? We got to look at this stuff. We got to look at it. I was at the doctor the other day. I had to get some fluid out of my knee. My knee, for months, my knee was acting janky as hell. I didn't know what was going on. I went to the emergency room a few weeks ago, and they didn't see any bones or anything fractured. And so I went to my main doctor, and they were like, yeah, we got, we had to do another x-ray, and there's some fluid here. So they had to stick that long needle in my leg and draw out all that damn fluid. I had a gang of fluid in my knee. I feel like $1 million now. My shit is much better now. Have you guys ever had, y'all seen I posted that on my Instagram. Even the nurse was like, oh my God, I've never seen this much fluid before. Nigga, it was a bottle of iced tea. It was a gang of fluid in my knee. Man, it was heavy, but I feel much better, man. My shit feels much better. But what was interesting when I was going to the doctor, well, they started asking me about questions about China. Hey, you haven't been to China in the last 14 days, have you? Have you come into contact with anybody from China in the last 14 days? Well, they were double checking everybody. They were double checking everybody. What's up, Auntie Falanda? How are you, Fofo? I see you in the chat room. Yeah, that fluid. Yeah. That fluid, it can become septic because you already have fluid in your knee. You got a little bit. And if there's any kind of trauma, more fluid will formulate because it naturally tries to protect the traumatized part of your joints. And because I had foot surgery, I was putting a lot of weight on my other knee because I couldn't walk on my other foot. So I guess that kind of traumatized it a little bit. But I'm fine now. I'm cool in the gang now. I'm cool in the gang now. But like I said, they were asking a lot of questions about that damn coronavirus and China and all this stuff. And, we got to look and see, is this like a bioweapon that they're using? You understand? This, we got to look at it from every angle. Let's look at all the possibilities. China's trying to make big moves, and then what they'll do, they say, hey, well, there's a disease coming out of China, so we can't really fuck with China right now. And then they'll start messing up China's trade. So China's, they done thrown a monkey wrench in China right now. You can't really trade like you're supposed to. So, the white supremacists know how to put folks in check with stuff. And what I found interesting is that Bill Gates, he just announced that he's about to go up into Africa to spend a gang of money to fight the coronavirus. And I'm like, oh, hell. I said, oh, hell. When I saw that, now I'm telling you, when they go up in Africa with it, talking about they're about to start fighting the coronavirus, I'm like, this shit is in China, so they're about to go to Africa to start fighting the coronavirus. That means they're about to go spread it. Now, y'all, I promise you, unfortunately, you're about to see a lot of brothers and sisters start disappearing out of Africa now. Oh, it's about to go down in Africa. Now, when they go out there talking about they're going to help somebody, that help never turns out right. They're still trying to go to trial with that woman from, I think she's from Arizona or Colorado, who went out there to Uganda faking, pretending to be a damn doctor. Y'all remember her? This white woman went out there with some little missionary group pretending to be a doctor and end up killing hundreds of people and then just hopped on the plane and came back like nothing happened. That's why we got my brothers and sisters over there. Y'all got to get off that white mommy, white daddy worship. They come over there, man, and just wreak havoc. And y'all trust them. I remember when I was in South Africa, there was only one sister over there, a sister who was running an orphanage. And she told me, I don't trust none of these white women who come up in here. She knew. She was running an orphanage, and I gave her a few thousand dollars at her orphanage. Real cool sister to help those kids out there in South Africa. She was like, yeah, you know, yeah, a lot of white women come here, and I don't trust the white women. So she knew. The sister knew. You did? Because they go out there, and they be finessing. They go out there, and they start finessing. But that's not going to be a good look with Bill Gates, because Bill Gates is already on that population control thing. They've already said that they're trying to split the world's population down, meaning they're going to wipe out some black folks. When they say population control, and speaking of Walt Disney did a cartoon in 1968 about population control. Remember, white supremacists, eugenics, all that goes hand in hand. When they start talking about population control, that means the white supremacists, they are trying to ensure their numbers. And to ensure their numbers, there has to be less niggas. So when they start talking about population control and birth control and all that, that stuff is directed at black people. They're trying to gain more numbers. Their numbers are looking very, very bad right now. This is why they're trying to curb our population growth. Family, there is a reason why you keep seeing Billy Porter, Lil Nas X, niggas with dresses. There was something on the Tamron Hall show. There was some dudes on there twerking and twirling. They're trying to normalize anti-procreative behavior. Because when you promote that and try to get everybody on that trend, you're trying to make it a hip, trendy thing. Hey, guys, this is the new wave. So you can't procreate. That's what the end game is. They do not want you to procreate. If you're out here twirling, if you're a man and you busting it open and your pussy is out here spread, you ain't going to procreate. That's what they want. You dig? This is why the movie Buck Breaking is going to be heavy. Yeah, I saw Pastor Troy. He was trending the other day because he spoke out against some stuff where he saw some guys kissing or whatever, and then they tried to attack him. So, yeah, if you call some of this stuff out, they're going to attack you. You understand? Because they're going to defend their agenda. They're going to offend their agenda. They're going to defend their agenda. And all you brothers out there, some of you LGBT cats, you understand that you're a mascot for these white supremacists. You know they don't give a shit about you because they don't give you nothing. All they do is parade you around as their little mascot, as their pet. But you don't never get any of the resources that they have because the white LGBT community is just as racist as the white straight community. You understand? So we got to understand that part of the game. And we got to understand how people use us as mascots, and we don't have any friends. We got to stay on code. We got to start looking out for each other. We got to start being codified with our actions because every other group is. We got to stop letting them try to promote this multicultural black and brown coalition. We're all in this together. I really hate the words black and brown. When I see black and brown, I saw something earlier about how police are targeting black and brown. Who the hell are the brown people you're talking about? At schools, black and brown students are being targeted. Who the hell are the brown people you're talking about? Who? It's not Hispanics. Hispanic children are not being targeted in schools like black children, and they don't even consider themselves brown. They classify themselves as white for the most part. Who are these brown people y'all keep talking about? Hispanic people are not getting shot by the damn police like this, so you cannot be talking about Hispanic people. What? Who are the brown people you're talking about? Black and brown. Who the hell are the brown people? They've created this imaginary group who we're supposed to be camaraderies with. So we're supposed to have a camaraderie with. That it makes no sense. You just can't say black. It has to be black and brown, which brown don't exist. You're just talking about black people, or black and minority, or black and LGBT. He's anti-black and homophobic. You always got to dilute talking about blackness with something else. You can't just talk about blackness. See, we got to stop that. We got to cut that out. We're going to stop making them dilute us. And y'all stop going along with that. A woman of black and other people of color. Nah, we ain't doing that. We're going to put black on the forefront and leave it at that. And if we want to get specific about the blackness, we're talking about foundational black Americans. Because we ain't got no camaraderie with some of these so-called brown. If you're talking about Hispanic, we don't really have a camaraderie with them. They don't really rock with us like that. I was going back and forth with this Puerto Rican former cop. He's up here talking about black on black crime, and I pointed out, dude, over in Puerto Rico, there's a wave of violent murders in broad daylight. They're over there killing people in broad daylight in Puerto Rico. You don't ever speak on black people. See, these hybrid white supremacists, they're the worst. This is why we don't buy into that brown bullshit, because these people are brown in certain skin tones, but they're white mentally and they want to be white mentally. Because what happens is you get a lot of these degenerate hybrid white people. Some of these Southern Italians, some of these Hispanics, some of these Spanish. Even Spanish are not really considered white white. Some of the Greeks are some of these degenerate hybrid mutt white. Some of these people are extremely insecure, especially a lot of Hispanics. A lot of these people are racially insecure because they're always striving for whiteness that they can never really achieve. See, they want to be Anglo. So, you know, when they get a little money, they can get a little nose job here or there, but they want to be Anglo. And because they can't be Anglo, they got to be overtly anti-black in order to kind of show and prove that they're down for the team. You know, this is why, especially down in Cuba, really in Cuba, and down there in Miami, all them Cubans down there, the little hybrid, degenerated whites, they have to show their anti-blackness. You dig? And all through the Caribbean, these niggas hate acknowledging the African bloodline. That's why when you talk to a lot of these wannabe white Puerto Ricans and these wannabe white Dominicans, notice when they talk about their heritage, they always talk about their damn Spanish and Taino. I'm Spanish, I'm Taino. Nigga, please. The Taino's died off hundreds of years ago. Use a Negra. I know black. Yeah, you a Negro, Pedro. Yeah, that Afro you got, nigga, didn't come from the Taino Indians. But yeah, they're very racially insecure. We don't owe nobody nothing. I don't owe nobody a goddamn thing. These people have so much anti-black hatred, it's ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. We owe them nothing. And I was arguing with some dude, some immigrant Negro. This is a dark-skinned Negro. He's somewhere in the Caribbean, from the Caribbean, but he was trying to deny it. But he was clearly some kind of non-foundational black American Caribbean coon. Talking about how come we don't want to help people come over here and be successful. I'm like, well, what other people do and they're not citizens of this country, that's not really our problem. Why should we give a damn about other people coming over here and not really, it doesn't benefit us as foundational black Americans. No, we all should, y'all should want success for other people. I'm like, well, in some of your home countries, are you helping black Americans? Are any of you people in these other countries helping foundational black Americans? Y'all helping us do anything? I mean, y'all won't even give us no damn dual citizenship. And especially in large numbers, y'all not giving us no dual citizenship. Y'all not doing nothing for us. Even we ask, and y'all don't do shit. Especially in the Caribbean and in Africa. Y'all got CARICOM over there where y'all trying to get reparations for all the Caribbean islands. Black Americans are not included in that. But the minute we start talking about reparations, y'all want to jump in the conversation. Y'all not doing nothing for us in none of these countries. Y'all not giving us dual citizenship in Africa? You're not. They're not giving us dual citizenship. They give us, in certain cases, the right to abode in Ghana now. But you got to jump through so many hoops to do it. And even this Negro I was talking to, he's like, well, down in Mexico, if you go down there and you get married for 5 years, they'll give you some citizenship. Nigga, I don't want to do all that. I got to go down there and marry Maria for 5 fucking years to get dual citizenship when y'all can just walk over here and get all types of benefits? I got to go down there in order for me to get dual citizenship. I got to jump through hoops and live with Maria for 5 fucking years. And y'all can just walk over the border, and then you got the Dreamer program and free driver's licenses and jobs and sanctuary cities. You can just walk over here and get all types of goodies. Nah, that's not a good deal, bro. Yeah, y'all just go ahead and hold your own nuts and we'll do what we got to do. And then he was like, well, a lot of these other countries, they can't help you because they got their own problems. Well, we got our own problems too. It ain't our job to let y'all ride on our damn backs. And that's all they like to do. They like to piggyback off us. That's the coalition. When they get to ride on our backs and we don't get shit from it. Other groups love riding on our backs, riding on our coattails. You dig? They love doing that. I saw something, speaking of Puerto Ricans, J-Lo put up something today. She's, I don't know if it's her 50th birthday or whatever, but she was showing, she took a selfie and she put the hashtag Bronx Girl Magic. And people were like, oh, well, that sounds familiar. Okay, you piggybacking off that now too? So, you know, they always got to be included. So now instead of Black Girl Magic, it's Bronx Girl Magic. And they love doing that. Those Hispanic chicks like that, if they see a black girl or black woman getting shine, oh, they got to come in there in the mix and get theirs too. Oh, they got to come in the mix and get theirs too. They're going to make sure you mention them. And we say, hey, let's do something for black folks. Hey, and Hispanic. And Hispanic too. No, we want to do something for black folks. And Hispanic. No, we want to do something for black folks. Go hold your own nuts. Nah, we got to cut people off from jumping in our mix. Yeah, we got to cut people off. You don't just keep jumping and leeching off of us. You've eaten enough. You've eaten off us enough as it is. Enough is. I'm tired of feeding other people. I'm tired. And we don't have to, black folks. You're not a slave no more. Let's stop acting like it. We feed ourselves. Stop buck dancing. Every time white folks go out here and get themselves in a tither, you got the Mark Lamont Hills and the Wanda Sykes and all these niggas putting on the cape. And that's the problem. We got so many Captain Save a Beckys out here. Y'all trying to save white mommy and white daddy with your non-codified ass so that you can get a damn job because you don't have any kind of respect for black society for them to trust you. We got to get that plantation mentality out of here. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Don't forget the Hidden Colors sale starts tomorrow, $49.99 for Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the 1804 DVD thrown in. That is the deal of the year, all month, Black History Month. Everybody's going to have the Hidden Colors series for Black History Month. And you go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. And everybody, if you have not gotten your tickets for the Foundational Black American Conference going down this June, get your tickets at FBAC2020.com. We're going to have me hosting. We're going to have our brother Reza Islam. We're going to have Judge Doe Brown. We're going to have Boyce Watkins. We're going to have Professor James Small. We're going to have Kaba Kabane. We're going to have Shahrazad Ali. This is the event of the year. You don't want to miss it. Go to FBAC ladies and gentlemen, and I will holler.